and in the community. This is one of the great things about leadership. Effective leaders don't just lead in one position or in one area of life. They transfer that leadership to every area of life. For example, practicing various forms of meditation has gained in popularity over the past few years. And now, with meditation timer apps, people are competing for the most meditation minutes, much like a pseudo-spiritual Fitbit. People are reporting that they're now meditating 20 or even 30 minutes a day. Others are besting them with reports of 40 or 60-minute sessions. But the value of meditation is not in how many minutes one meditates. Rather, the goal of any meditation practice is to be able to extend the value and process to everyday life. In other words, 2 minutes or 20 minutes of meditation really doesn't matter. What does matter is, does one become meditative? Likewise, leadership is not about role or level. It is about being able to make the world a better place. True leaders lead, not only in every level, but in every situation. This automatically results in team building. Everyone loves the significance of being part of something greater than themselves. And you are innovative in this role, transforming the lives of others. Being a role model extends across all four quadrants of viral leadership, creating ownership and buy-in, and creating the culture of excellence. It's easy to change a culture when an organization is filled with role models. Being a role model takes vision and integrity. Being a role model helps others learn to lead by example. The best way to train others in leadership is to let them see leadership in every situation. Practice emotional intelligence not only at work, but also in your families, with your children, and with strangers at the coffee shop. The result will be a transformation across every part of your life. Action. Viral leaders take action. Successful leadership is intentionally created with deliberate ideas. The DoubleTree cookie from the first chapter is one of those examples. But it is the action taken that ensures success and valued branding that is the hallmark of leadership. Viral leadership can also come from organic or even accidental success. But again, the calling card of viral leadership is seizing the moment. And that comes from taking action. Action can, of course, be taken across all four quadrants of viral leadership. Creating viral teams by communicating with all members, it opens the doorway to involvement by all stakeholders. Action is essential in launching innovation. I often wonder how many great ideas have been thought of but never materialized because no action was taken. Innovation cannot be separated from action. Action is required for ownership and buy-in. The action of building teams culminates in viral success when there is buy-in. Buy-in and ownership requires work, ongoing communication, and feedback. It needs to be processed like appreciative inquiry or AI to reach critical mass. But once buy-in is achieved, the rewards are limitless for almost any company. The number one hindrance to success for almost every business is a lack of engagement. Action that increases engagement leads to lasting transformation in business. Actions that can be taken to improve productivity include: treat your team with respect. Provide them with the tools and environment they need for peak performance and productivity. Let them be heard and pay them enough so they are invested in success. And reward success with bonuses at every level. Train managers to be more effective and give them insight into solving issues of productivity. This will increase the sense of buy-in as well as create a culture of engagement. The general manager who can pick up a table during a tough dinner rush, or a kitchen manager who can jump into the line, can increase productivity by showing employees that they are with the employees rather than simply, quote, bossing employees. Strategies that create a culture of engagement are actions that encourage and support employees and set an example. Now, we've all seen that, quote, do as I say, not as I do managers. Actions that, quote, do as I do, unquote, are far more effective at creating long-term success. Loyalty. I prefer to hire people who demonstrate loyalty, even if they lack skills. Why? Because skills can be taught, but loyalty cannot. Loyalty, as a hallmark of viral leadership, is not just about employees, but about the attributes of leaders as well. Are you loyal to the vision? Loyal to the employees? Loyal to providing the customer experience that they believe they are purchasing? Viral leaders are loyal to the teams they create, not just to the success of a team. They help a team come together and stay together in tough times. Viral leaders train and build up others. Even though each member of the team has an individual position, the viral leader encourages them to function as, quote, one for all, unquote. Viral leaders manifest loyalty and innovation by staying true to their own intentions. They also set new intentions to help the team rise to an even higher level. This is a great thing about viral leadership. It never stops. It continually builds upon previous successes and becomes self-replicating. Viral leaders create and manifest loyalty through buy-in and ownership, treating projects and people as having the worth that comes from a shared experience. Viral leaders create cultures of engagement through loyalty. A company culture with loyalty can not only transform an establishment, it can sustain it through some very challenging times. Part 4. Specific ways to activate viral leadership. Chapter 10. How innovation leads us into action. Intention leads to action by opening our hearts and minds to the possibilities around us. Intention is the foundation of viral leadership because it helps us to direct our actions in ways that allow us to seize the moment. Have you ever missed the moment? When I was 14, the movie The Black Stallion came out. There were 7 kids in our family, and going to the Libertyville Theater was a big deal. Now, I'm sure that my folks told me what time to return when I took off to ride my bicycle in the neighborhood, but being a typical young boy, I lost track of time, and of course, back in those days, we didn't have cell phones. I still remember being mortified when I saw our green, woody 1973 Vista Cruiser station wagon pass me on the street. My stepfather was driving and my mother was talking to him and my sisters were playing in the back. Nobody saw me. I yelled and I yelled, but my screams were clearly not enough to be heard by anyone in the car. I rode my bicycle as fast as I could to catch them at the stop sign. But my pedaling was no match for the Oldsmobile V8, even in a tank like our wagon. As they turned onto the main road, I knew I wouldn't catch them. But that didn't stop me from pedaling as fast as I could in hopes that I would be noticed in the rearview mirror. I cried. I cried hard. I remember riding my bike home to an empty house and going to my room and just crying in my pillow. To this day, I still haven't seen that movie. And to this day, I have an inner drive and intention not to miss out on things that are important. If the foundation of viral leadership is intention, then the framework is action. Nothing else can get done until some sort of action is taken. In leadership training, we often look at action as a strategy. A good concept of this is taking action to build trust or action to communicate clearly. Relating to viral leadership, there are 3 main types of action. These actions complete the framework to allow a viral moment to become a sustaining movement. They are action to launch viral energy, action to engage more people in the experience, and action to move forward from the moment and into something sustaining. Number 1. Action to launch viral energy. With the intention to provide unique and high-quality board games, the company CMON Limited has successfully used Kickstarter, a crowdfunding website, to fund and successfully launch over 27 board games. This clever and unique company specializes in hand-painted mini-characters for their games, which sets them apart from the others. In 2016, they were one of the top five highest Kickstarter customers to generate and receive funding for their board game, Massive Darkness. With the viral success of that game, which retails for $120, they flourished and became a publicly traded company. To date, they've raised over $38 million in Kickstarter funds for various projects. This amount of financial support is incredible for any board game manufacturer, especially one specializing in hand-painted mini-characters. To create a sustainable business model from the viral launches, Seamon Limited widened their market footprint by acquiring other websites and companies that support the board game industry. Because they took action to fill a specialized niche, they have even found success in creating and publishing a periodical gaming magazine in an era of declining print publications. Fostering continued enthusiasm for their products and their industry as a whole, they have organized game painting competitions with professional-level prizes and cash purses for overall winners. The action at Seamon Limited and CEO Mr. Chern An has not only been focused on creating viral marketing within the Kickstarter platform, but to create sustaining leadership through its other actions. Unlike other game makers who have achieved Kickstarter success, actions to sustain the viral success and launches with retail partners have created a worldwide base that would not be possible with just a website. How exactly does something become viral? The hula hoop, the Ford Taurus, and the DoubleTree cookie all preceded the internet, yet they share the same characteristics as the post-internet successes. Think of those miniature board games raising $38 million, or Justin Bieber as a legacy in the music industry with a number one YouTube channel and Twitter account with billions, yes, billions of hits, and tens of millions of followers. In the mid-1990s, as Hotmail was introduced as a free email service, the employees of Hotmail were amazed at how many new member signups came simply from, quote, word of mouth through internet blog forums. Wired magazine editor Bill Wozzeck reports that it was these employees who coined the term going viral. From that time on, going viral has been a major objective of every teenager with a camera, businesses with an underfunded new idea, and every entertainer, both professional and amateur. In fact, I cannot think of a single industry where gaining viral attention would not be of benefit. I can also guarantee that executives in almost every boardroom in the world spend time, at one level or another, trying to discover and develop their company's viral niche. In analyzing what becomes viral, it's apparent that it can happen without any seemingly logical rhyme or reason. Whether the viral surge was intended or unintended, through the internet or not, certain characteristics seem to be present across the board. They are something noteworthy, something entertaining, something astonishing, and something useful. You can create interest and viral energy and begin a movement by tapping into these common characteristics that others have had. Look for ways to inspire, unite, and amaze. Look for ways to give something of value to people, and look for ways to entertain people to increase the likelihood of supercharging your potential audience. You may be surprised when the results of your actions exceed your wildest expectations. The Ford Taurus became a best-selling car because it was useful. It had noteworthy style changes and model improvements over the years. The DoubleTree cookie is useful. What sets them apart from any other cookie is that they're also astonishing. Store-bought cookies are notoriously dry or fake gooey. But the DoubleTree cookie is simply amazing. Now, although the actual recipe is a secret, internet recipe cloners almost always have a combination of milk chocolate, oatmeal, cinnamon, vanilla extract, and brown sugar. The result is a cookie that will even impress your grandmother. Justin Bieber is a multi-platinum recording artist because he is entertaining and astonishing. If you're a 14-year-old girl, you might say he's also useful and noteworthy. Now, there's a lot of Justin Bieber haters, but his videos went viral and his career was launched. Unlike one-hit wonders or musical trends that have long since disappeared, his music, acting, and social media career has had staying power. Bieber is an entertainer and a master at it. Unlike other childhood stars, he's transitioned into adulthood as a leader in the music industry. Now, yes, he did throw eggs at the neighbor's house. He's also very involved in charities that build schools for children in underprivileged areas. And by being involved, I mean at the Jimmy Carter level. He's been part of the on-site construction crews, hammering and nailing the wood. Sure, some bad press covering his teenage love triangles and stupid stunts made the headlines, but even those things gained him more notoriety and more hits. In the end, even if you don't like his musical style, he is a phenomenal entertainer. And, dare I say, leader? Millions of people are believers, and his music is loved by millions. He also took action on his viral discovery and had the business sense to listen to Usher and his other adult coaches. He continues to interact with fans on a personal level and even encourages them to sneak into sold-out concerts. Another of my favorite viral stories from the internet is of comedian and inspirational speaker Judson Lapley. In 2006, he created the most watched video on the internet called Evolution of Dance. Now, to date, he has received hundreds of millions of views and still growing. He was smart and parlayed his viral video success to his profession. Lapley would have never achieved such success as a headlining comedy act and keynote speaker without his crazy dance video in an Orange Crush t-shirt. Speaking of viral videos, one of the earliest I remember becoming enthralled with was called, quote, "Did You Know? Shift Happens. Globalization, Information Age," unquote. About the same time this video came out, I was deep into my career and profession. I had written a book about cross-generational culture tapping into changing markets. I was a frequent keynote speaker at conferences around the country addressing this topic. In this viral video, facts and figures were presented that both astounded people and provided information. Much like TED Talks that have become viral, the information presented was highly actionable and the music it was set to helped create an almost hypnotic entry point into a new digital future. I remember the early days in the infancy of the World Wide Web. This new thing called, quote, email quickly became the quickest and most popular route of textual communication. One could send and receive written correspondences around the world within seconds. It was amazing. Not only could one communicate textually, but one could send and receive documents and even photographs. Email gives us the ability to share content with the click of a forward button. Now, many of the earliest viral messages on the internet came from emails. Today, social media, Pinterest, Instagram, and tweeting have become the most popular platforms to share food pictures, makeup artistry, and amazing images of beautiful things. In each of the preceding examples, you can see these elements at work in the viral success of either planned or unplanned events. Number 2, action to engage more people in the experience. The action that is most likely to create viral growth is an action that engages the first follower as a co-leader. Action that engages is action that builds a movement. Something fascinating happens when one person takes the lead, and as others join in, critical mass is created. FOMO, the fear of missing out, is a powerful tool in creating viral awareness, and people want to be the first to share, the first to participate, and the first to, quote, go all in. Understand this, and you have one of the keys to creating and building from viral experiences. I had a boss for a few weeks once that had to be, in the history of bosses, one of the worst bosses ever. The company I was working for had been sold by the founder to a larger corporation upon his retirement, and that's when I was hired. The new CEO was a compassionate woman who had clinical experience as a physician, but little administrative experience. She was appointed by the new company, but was handpicked by the founder. She did her best and knew her limitations. And so she convinced the larger corporation to hire another new CEO and move her role to one managing only the clinical aspects of the business. It really was a mess, and the organization was in turmoil at every level. The new CEO was named Mark. He was young and fresh out of MBA school. I'm not sure how much actual experience he had, but he came in the first day, held a staff meeting, and let us know that he was breaking the culture that was unprofitable, and that he was the, quote, bus driver now. He literally had a staff meeting with a stick figure driver he labeled as Mark, and then added the rest of us in the back of the bus as stick figures he was driving. He put us in order from front to back as to how important he saw our position in relation to one thing, profitability. He told us that he was driving the bus and that the bus was not stopping. He then told us to jump off the bus if we didn't want to go along for the ride, illustrating stick figures bailing from the bus and hitting the sidewalk. This, my friend, is not the way to inspire action. The action I took was to get off the bus. It was only a matter of weeks before I did jump off the bus, and I've never looked back on that decision. Number 3, action to move forward from the moment and into something sustaining. To create something sustaining, you must create community. Seem Unlimited did that by creating social contests for gamers to meet in real life and monthly magazines to connect people to their niches. In my primary business, I've done this by creating pages that celebrate an idea rather than a page that celebrates me or my business. The business comes naturally from providing something of value to a community. I am very active on social media, from millions of hits on my YouTube channels to hosting large professional groups on Facebook. I have learned how to make the social media platform both beneficial and profitable. Unfortunately, my observation is that most people interact in the wrong way. I see real estate agents who create a business page promoting anywhere real estate, and other business owners posing pages asking people to, quote, like their pizza place, Botox office, shoe store, or consulting business. They have obviously tended to these pages with great care, and have even spent money on these pages, either through advertising or buying graphics or paying an assistant to curate items for it. Now, despite these efforts, it is very seldom that they receive the desired results. The cause is simple. There is no reason to, quote, like the page of a real estate agent, unless, of course, it's your sister, husband, or best friend. And even if you amass a lot of, quote, likes through paid advertising, nobody is really following the page anyway. Most professionals promoting their business fail to create something sustaining from their efforts. As a licensed psychotherapist, I have trained thousands of other professionals in both the clinical and business aspects of building a practice. Now, there is really no reason for anyone to, quote, like a mental health professional's page. Now, pizza shops may get a bit of organic action, but those people are probably existing customers fishing for a coupon. A successful media page can accomplish a lot, like customer retention, attract new customers, build loyalty, share product applications and instructions, and increase sales. But none of these can be accomplished by just creating another meaningless advertisement page on the internet. When I train medical professionals, I advise them not to create a business page, but rather a community page. Social media is about engagement. It's about community. What is most important to consumers of social media is friendship and connection, not products and services. I advise them to create a social media group about their city or region. Rather than the Dr. Joe Schmo private practice page, create a community page, something like DallasIsAwesome.com. This marketing tactic works for any business and any city. On your community page, post topical and relevant information and keep it current. Remember the four elements of a successful viral campaign: something noteworthy, something entertaining, something astonishing, and something useful. Update the weather, show local business news, post memes and tidbits of viral content that relate to your city, the sports teams or the people, and celebrate your city. When I did this as part of a training seminar a few years back, we ended up getting over 1 million page views in less than 3 days. People joined and liked the page in droves. Co-author and editor of this book, RJ Banks, created a topical community on Facebook and currently has over 500,000 members in his group. Now one may ask, what is the value of having these followers? The answer? Engagement. Or action to move forward from the moment and into something sustaining. Banks's, quote, moment came when he first posted his downloadable morning affirmation sign. RJ has been selling his book titled The Power of I Am and the Law of Attraction, as well as his audio affirmations programs, to his community members for years now. When you create a community page, you control the page and the engagement. Stop by every week and let people know that you are a part of the community and where they can buy a house, get a pizza, or buy your book. You can share the services that you offer, whether they're medical services, consulting services, or accounting, through an ongoing portal for promoting within the culture of social media that will really work for you. Chapter 11, Leadership for Everyone. Viral leadership is not dependent on a CEO, a manager, or anyone with a specific title or position. Viral leadership can emerge naturally at any place and from anyone within an organization. We all have businesses, be it local or part of a national chain, which we frequent because of that one employee. That one employee who makes a difference and makes us feel special. In 2014, I was having dinner with a small group of friends at a local Las Vegas restaurant. One is a physician friend, another works at the front desk of a major hotel casino in Las Vegas, and one manages a large health and gym studio. As we were talking and visiting, I was telling them about my project and upcoming book on leadership, when the conversation turned toward a life-changing impact that one person can have on another person. Linda, the hotel front desk clerk, told us an incredible story. Now, this wasn't a story about leadership per se, but it's one that I see as a perfect example of effective leadership. A few years back, Linda was excited about the upcoming holiday season and her first Christmas working at the hotel. With the holiday season upon them and the delight of Christmas joy everywhere, Linda realized that some of her teammates would be alone for the holidays. She knew that somebody on her team of 84 people would feel lonely, unloved, and alone. She thought about it and then took action. What she did next was inspiring and revealed her true compassion and natural leadership qualities. What she did next was not a corporate directive or, quote, orders from above. What she did next was done with kindness and consideration. During her time off, Linda enthusiastically designed and created 84 individual and unique Christmas cards. She created and personalized a card for every member of her team. She then snuck into work before her shift one morning and secretly slipped the cards into each of their mailboxes, wishing all of her team a Merry Christmas. Now, keep in mind that she is not a team leader. She is not a department manager, and she is not the president of the company. She is a frontline employee, like the other 84 employees on her team. What she did, through kindheartedness and thoughtful consideration, is as powerful as any decision the CEO can make. This type of leadership becomes involved in the community, and these natural leaders become the ambassadors for the brand. They create enthusiasm among other employees and energize the entire team. My friend has no desire to move up the ladder. She's very happy and content, and will probably work to her retirement in the same customer service position. But her leadership has created tradition, esprit de corps, and positive impact in the workplace. Now, she's been doing this for 3 years now, and the tradition has spread to other departments and even other businesses. My friend Linda is a true viral leader. With the encouragement and mentoring of such great high-level executives as legendary GE Chairman Jack Welch, Randy Dobbs rose to become one of the company's top CEOs. Throughout his career, he developed a strong reputation as a turnaround specialist. He has transformed every department and organization that he's led. His formula and natural leadership have increased earnings at every level. In his book titled Transformational Leadership, A Blueprint for Real Organizational Change, he gives us 5 attributes that define transformational leadership. These are all based on what we can see in the results. These are the 5 key elements of transformational leadership, according to Dobbs. Number 1, build a culture. Number 2, improve esprit de corps. Number 3, communicate issues and actions. Number 4, change the financial, behavioral, spiritual, or other matrix results. And number 5, leave behind a cadre of future transformational leaders. Remember, anyone at any level can be a part of all 5 of these elements. In fact, in viral contexts, it is likely that leadership will emerge at any level. Remember the story of the Flamin' Hot Cheetos? He was a janitor. Effective leaders recognize that leadership can emerge at any level, and effective leaders encourage leadership at every level. By reserving, quote, leadership to those only with the titles and positions of authority, creativity is stifled. The culture and work environment becomes toxic, and people feel like their efforts really don't count. Echoing back to Sir Richard Branson's quote, take care of your people and they'll take care of your business, unquote, it is the feeling of worthlessness from management that drives your people to seek other opportunities elsewhere. Remember, buy-in at all levels is imperative for viral leadership. In their best-selling book titled Transformational Leadership, authors Bernard Bass and Ronald Riggio write, quote, leadership is not just the province of people at the top. Leadership can also occur at all levels and by any individual, unquote. Traditionally, the process has been leaders training potential leaders below them, thus retaining the metaphor of a hierarchy. I see vertical structuring in leadership as a poor metaphor. For example, Linda, who makes the handmade Christmas cards every year for her fellow team members, is not trying to get to the top. She is, however, connecting with people in a meaningful way. This action, in turn, connects those people to each other in a meaningful way, regardless of where they are in the company pecking order. Sanford professor Bob Sutton argues that hierarchy is not a bad thing. In his book titled Scaling Up Excellence, he writes that it's both inevitable and needed. Sutton, however, is speaking in the context of organizational management. And while I agree that hierarchy is an organizational concept that is both inevitable and needed, leadership transcends hierarchy. It really is much more personal, which is why everybody can be a transformational leader, even within the hierarchy or organizational structure. Leadership can be present or conceptualized as a matrix with hierarchical, lateral, and even bottom-up incarnations. Transactional versus transformational leadership. Transactional and transformational are the 2 models of leadership that tend to be compared the most. According to Wikipedia, quote, transactional leaders are leaders who exchange tangible rewards for the work and loyalty of followers. Transformational leaders are leaders who engage with followers, focus on higher order, and raise consciousness about the significance of specific outcomes and new ways in which those outcomes might be achieved. Transactional leaders tend to be more passive, and transformational leaders demonstrate active behaviors that include providing a sense of mission, unquote. In his 1978 book titled simply Leadership, renowned scholar and recipient of a Pulitzer Prize, James McGregor Burns introduced the concept of transformational leadership. He defined transformational leadership as a process where, quote, leaders and their followers raise one another to higher levels of morality and motivation, unquote. In 1985, Bernard Bass, in his book titled Leadership and Performance Beyond Expectations, further refined transformational leadership as a model of integrity and fairness, sets clear goals, has higher expectations, encourages others, provides support and recognition, stirs the emotions of people, gets people to look beyond their self-interest, and inspires people to reach for the improbable. Transactional leaders, on the other hand, focus on organizational structure, managerial hierarchy and rules, directives, executive orders, or whatever you choose to call them. They have no desire to develop, evolve, or grow. They endorse compliance through both reward and punishment and look to keep things the same. Transactional leaders focus on their staff's performance to find faults and deviations. The other side of the transactional leadership coin involves exchange. According to Bass and Riggio, transformational leaders, when contrasted with transactional leaders, quote, help followers develop into leaders by responding to the individual follower's needs. This is typically accomplished by empowering them and by aligning the objectives and goals of the individual followers, the leaders, the group, and the larger organization, unquote. In this model of transformational leadership, alignment is the key concept. Another term for this could be, quote, parallel programming, unquote. It is important to note that Bass and Riggio base much of their work on articulating transformational leadership on the original work of Burns in his description in 1978. One of the boldest experiments in corporate leadership distribution comes from Zappos.com and the introduction of Holacracy. Holacracy is a method of decentralized management and organizational governance developed by Hierarchy One. CEO Tony Hsieh introduced the concept to Zappos.com. The purpose is to engage collaboration, self-governance, and to free employees to make critical decisions. Despite criticism of this approach, Hsieh has said his biggest mistake was not implementing Holacracy earlier in the company life. With transformational strategies, we can create leadership at every level. We achieve this by transforming ourselves, transforming others, and creating a perpetual motion machine of leadership where one person transforms the other. To begin transforming yourself, you can begin to identify your personal strengths. You can set intentions and you can practice the principles of emotional intelligence, mindfulness, and positive affirmation. Transforming oneself requires taking a personal inventory and moving forward from mistakes, seeing even failure as an opportunity for feedback. Transactional leadership engages theoretical management strategies such as conducting a staff meeting. For example, you bring everyone in, have them sit in a round circle, have them all identify a problem which is frustrating them, and then try to brainstorm solutions to those problems. Unfortunately, all of the energy of this group is focused on what is wrong and fails to pay attention to what's right. The opposite of this is the transformational approach. Instead of talking about what's wrong, each person identifies one thing that is right in the company today and one thing that is right with their fellow employees today. Today is your starting point in mastering a new approach to leadership. And that is to begin with understanding your own strengths. Strength-based management and leadership is centered on finding and refining the strengths of an individual and of a team. Imagine that you're the coach of a baseball team. Each of the players are selected to be on the team because of a certain talent or strength they have. If you have a player that is great at throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, but not so talented at catching the ball, would you put him at shortstop or even behind the plate catching? Why would you? To, quote, work on his weaknesses? I'm sure you agree this is crazy. If you think about it, though, this is exactly what traditional management and leadership does. I strongly encourage you to find your strengths and allow or help others to find theirs as well. That's what a true team player does and what a true team is. Each member has an assigned strength-based position. On a broader perspective, leadership is not about becoming something as much as it is about utilizing something. In life, we all have strengths and resources. By taking an inventory of your strengths, you are already leading, thus ending the never-ending problem of not being ready for a leadership role. You transcend the moment to be a leader right now, right here, as you read these pages. In viral leadership, the key to effective leadership is sharing our intention and vision with others. This creates buy-in as others adapt our ideas as their own. On a practical level, this can often be accomplished in the hiring process. Rather than approach the interview as a chance to grade skills or traits of potential new hires, use this opportunity to share vision and intention and gain buy-in. Those candidates who buy the most are the ones to keep. Skills can be learned, traits can be developed, but buy-in will produce enthusiastic workers who grow a business. Have you ever watched a street performer? Let's say there's a magician in downtown Las Vegas, or a juggler in Amsterdam, or a dancer in Buenos Aires. As they begin their performance, they are the only leaders. But as soon as just one person stops to watch and the performer engages them in the act, others will stop and watch and enjoy. This is buy-in. With this buy-in momentum, others want to be involved. And as they line up to clap, participate, dance, or be involved, the crowd can grow and grow. What is happening here is that the performer gains buy-in from every spectator. A skilled street performer knows the dynamics of leadership and involvement and inclusion. They know how to parlay this into not only a profitable night, but sometimes a profitable career. Rod Stewart is a singer who did this by starting on the street selling 100 million albums. Robin Williams worked the streets by creating a perpetual motion machine of involvement that began in his street performance as a mime and ended with multiple Academy Awards. Viral leaders spread leadership. They create involvement, they mentor others, and they look for leadership at every level. The CEO who has an open door is, in my opinion, far more likely to build a successful organization than the CEO who has a gatekeeper and only sees the highest levels of management. Chapter 12, Lessons in Viral Leadership from Entertainment. Being completely dependent on viral success, the entertainment industry personifies the virtual model. In creating our own success, there are lessons to be learned by reflecting on what the entertainment industry teaches us. In almost every case of viral success, the four quadrants of viral leadership are somewhere to be found. And in music, literature, cinema, art, or any other form of entertainment, the foundations of intention and authenticity are usually glaring. It's the authentic voice of Joni Mitchell singing her song titled Both Sides Now that made that song an anthem for a generation. It is the brute reality of the Fight Club that made it not only a best-selling book, but a movie that will endure the test of time. Creating something awesome does not equate to viral success. The prerequisites for viral success is not necessarily dependent on quality nor even money. Although these two factors do help to a point, they are not golden tickets to viral success. If you want to take the power of now and create something sustaining, look for the elements of the four quadrants of viral leadership and entertainment success, then replicate that success in your own business. Many cult or viral movies such as Blair Witch Project, Napoleon Dynamite, and the classic Rocky Horror Picture Show were all shot on shoestring budgets with semi-professional or even consumer-grade equipment. In fact, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which debuted in 1975, is still running in select theaters across America. The music business follows this same pattern with songs that are low-budget productions or not composed in the conventional style, yet everybody sings them. Even though they may sound awful or may have the most bizarre lyrics, they become huge viral hits. Think of songs like Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice, or what I believe to be the very worst viral song ever titled Just a Friend by Biz Markie. His singing is so off-key and off-beat that for me it's just unlistenable. Everything about that song is just horrible to me. Another off-putting song that defined a generation and became their anthem was the song Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. Everything about this song pretty much goes against the rules of good songwriting, musical structuring, and performance. I can't even make out the words, let alone understand what he's singing about. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that this is, quote, art, and it's also a generational thing. When I was a young teen, my parents hated my music as well. To them, bands like Led Zeppelin and AC/DC were loud, obnoxious, and just screamed incomprehensible mumbo-jumbo. And according to them, it was all about sex and drugs. But all this noise was pure, sweet music to my ears. For me, Jim Morrison and the Doors are the epitome of everything viral. They had viral leadership. They were a viral team. They were always on the cutting edge of the now, and they knew how to attract, gain, maintain, and grow their fan base. The catalog of hits by the Doors is amazing and has withstood the test of time. What was so impressive is how they all worked together as a team. All of their songs were written by The Doors. They all composed and wrote together as a team. They focused on their individual strengths and collaboratively created viral success. Unlike so many other bands, they didn't let their egos or greed get in the way of what they had created. At one point, General Motors approached them about using the song Light My Fire in a Buick commercial. They wanted to change the lyrics to, quote, Come on, Buick, light my fire, unquote. The multi-million dollar deal was turned down because it was only a 3-1 vote, not a 4-0. Although the band stuck to their artistic guns, they did, however, continue to act on their nows. One of the keys to the Doors' viral success was that, from a business standpoint, they understood their clientele. They were so in touch with what their audience desired and created music that embraced the human experience. These were radical, rapidly changing times in the birth of a new hippie generation. The great metaphorical song that they created and performed became the voice of this generation. 12 years after it was written, Francis Ford Coppola chose the song titled The End to be the signature song for his blockbuster movie titled Apocalypse Now. This movie and the Doors' music defined the Vietnam War along with the unrest of the times. The movie also introduced the legendary Doors to a whole new generation. Now, it's worth noting that the Doors often recorded their music in a rather amateurish style. Their final studio album, titled L.A. Woman, wasn't even made in a recording studio. They recorded it in their practice room, or in other words, in the garage. Even the death of Jim Morrison at age 27 did not quell the success of the Doors from a commercial perspective and can actually be a lesson to any leader that no matter how skilled, talented, innovative, or authentic you are, you must also address your own personal demons. Too many great leaders end up like Morrison, not necessarily dead at age 27, but washed up in their ability to continue to create powerful professional impact as a result of private personal failures. In our current day and age, music is also linked to videos, thanks to MTV, and now through the second most accessed search engine in the universe, YouTube.com. I really don't think that any song these days has a chance of ever going viral without a video. Music videos and YouTube have drastically changed the game. Now, although the YouTube platform is available to anyone and everyone, there is still a formula for viral sustainability. This is what makes the difference between flash-in-the-pan one-hit wonders and a viral sensation with growth and sustainability. The song video titled Gangnam Style by Korean rapper Psy went viral on YouTube, becoming the first of its kind to reach over 1 and later 2 billion views. He held this position for over 5 years until it was surpassed by Wiz Khalifa's song titled See You Again, which, as of this writing, has been watched over 3.1 billion times. Yes, Gangnam was a hit, a huge viral hit, but it failed to have sustainable success. Psy did not build upon that now or turn the viral success into something bigger and sustainable. Psy is also a great case study in failing to seize the power of now to create something sustainable. Although educated in America, his previous public comments about U.S. military came to light with his fame, resulting in his public apology. And now, Psy largely performs only to the Eastern Asian market, one that might be more forgiving of his political comments than the American audience who made him rich. Leadership requires personal discipline, and our greatest barrier to long-term success can sometimes be ourselves and our own weaknesses. Let's look at viral success that produces sustainability. In 2013, one of the most successful music videos to date is a song called The Fox, or as many know it as What Does the Fox Say? Now, I find this song so creatively annoying that I can't help but blast it if it comes over the radio. But the genius of this little ditty is the sustained success the group has manifested from this song. By taking action at the highest level of their viralness, Norwegian brothers Vegard and Bard Jakkesager landed a record deal with Warner Brothers, a TV show, and if that's not enough, they signed a children's book deal with publishing giants Simon & Schuster. They took their viral success and parlayed their now into a successful and profitable business. Books are also big in the world of entertainment viral ability, with over 400,000 books written each year. But which ones become bestsellers? The same question may be asked about movies and television. Throughout our modern era, literally thousands and thousands of books, songs, movies, and TV shows have been created, but only a handful of them have managed to create viral success and sustainable growth. We call these timeless classics, and they include titles like Catcher in the Rye, Little Woman, The Great Gatsby, all classics. Some movies and TV shows are multi-generational hits as well. Movies like The Wizard of Oz and Star Wars, TV shows like MASH, Cheers and Friends are all still running in syndication. Characters like vampires and zombies are now going on 2 centuries of viral awareness. Businesses can learn a lot from the entertainment industry about viral leadership. Quote, build it and they will come, unquote, only works in Hollywood movies. In real life, creating something awesome does not necessarily equate to viral success. What makes an entertainment product viral? This is what business leaders can inquire from the entertainment industry. A song becomes a viral smash hit, not necessarily because it's good in the conventional sense, but rather because people can relate to it in one way or another. A catchy beat helps, but it's the meaning and or emotion of the song that people connect with. It can be a heartwarming, happy and love feeling, or a broken heart emotion, or a get up and boogie response. If it can connect with the masses, it can become viral. In other words, authenticity. This is what the Doors were so good at. They heard, defined, connected with, and became one with their audience. Songs, books, movies, television shows all became smash hits because everyone can relate to them in one way or another. When people read, hear, or see a metaphor, the subconscious mind attaches it to the meaning most important to them. Many of the components of these hits are metaphorical or abstract. What does a song, a book, a movie, or a TV show mean? It means whatever the person thinks it means. A good example of this is Jimmy Webb's song titled MacArthur's Park. It's been recorded by such stars as Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Donna Summers, The Four Tops, and most recently, Carrie Underwood. Led Zeppelin's song titled Kashmir is another song with obscure lyrics that have endless metaphors. Here are a few lines, and I'm not a singer, so I'm just going to read them. Here we go. Quote, "Oh, let the sun beat down upon my face, and stars fill my dream. I'm a traveler of both time and space, to be where I've been, to sit with elders of this gentle race, this world has seldom seen. They talk of days from which they sit and wait. All will be revealed. O pilot of the storm who leaves no trace, like sorts inside a dream. Leave the path that led me to that place, yellow desert stream. Like Shangri-La beneath the summer moon, I will return again as the dust that floats finds you. We're moving through Kashmir." So, for businesses who want viral success, it's important to allow the customers or the team attach the meaning that is most important to them. In my marketing of educational programs, I started using the tagline, quote, "continuing education courses with meaning," unquote. Now, I never say what the meaning is to me. I leave it unanswered. Everyone who comes across my marketing and considers the courses have to look inside themselves to decide what the meaning is to them. To some, it's a fancy certification. For others, it's a sense of accomplishment. And for others, practical answers. The answer is always there. And the outcome of this simple adjustment, sales up over 20% within the first year following adapting this tagline. Here are the 5 key strategies or takeaways that you can learn from the entertainment industry so that you can become a smash hit and go viral as well. Number 1, be genuine and do what you do because it's your passion. Number 2, create a strength-based team and let your team be a team. Number 3, know your audience and give them what they want rather than telling them what they want. Number 4, act upon the now and keep creating new nows. And number 5, having faith and resilience are a must. Chapter 13, Develop Your Decisiveness. The saying goes, quote, "life is full of regrets," unquote. The business world is littered with stories of missed opportunities. Ronald Wayne co-founded Apple Computers with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. He gave up his 10% stake early on for $800 because he was purchasing a house and worried about his personal credit liability. That 10% stake would be worth a cool $35 billion today. And of course, Decca Records passing on the Beatles in 1962, letting much smaller EMI dominate the music of the 60s. Do you remember Borders Bookstores? In 2003, over 1,249 stores dotted the American landscape. By 2011, they declared bankruptcy. Procrastination in the digital age means that opportunity will pass you like a 225-mile-an-hour Lamborghini on the highway of life. Borders had a huge retail footprint, but it was saddled with long-term debt and long-term leases. These obligations made it impossible at that time to navigate the emergence of digital transformation. They farmed out their internet sales channel to Amazon and didn't even launch their own website until 2008. And what followed was an even worse string of bad decisions. They chose to keep stocking their stores with DVDs and CDs after consumer trends had made a serious right turn to digital media. Leadership decisions also never fully embraced the e-reader.